My name is Vanda Mikulowska-Solomon. On December 21st, 2011, I met with Dr. Alexander Skutnitsky, noted physician and professor at the Medical College of the Jagiellonian University in Krakow. We met at the Dialogue Center on Ulica Stradomska near Wawel. As a former board member of PAIA, an educational organization based in Krakow focused on Holocaust issues, I was very much aware of Dr. Skutnitsky's reputation, both as an oncologist and in human rights. I knew that he was winner of the Karski and Nurenska Prize for his work on Polish-Jewish heritage. Indeed, Dr. Skutnitsky is known in Krakow for building bridges between Poles and Jews, influenced by his predecessor, Dr. Julian Aleksandrowicz, who had suffered greatly under the Nazi occupation. I knew, too, that the doctor had been keeper of the Schindler List. Dr. Skutnitsky, in the last few years, has visited many of these survivors, visiting them on many continents, and he has completed a book on the lives of almost 80 of these now elderly people. As one long interested in Polish-Jewish history, I had seen the exhibit, A World Before Catastrophe, an exhibition of photographs taken by Dr. Aleksandrowicz and kept in a secure place. This exhibit was shown at the International Cultural Center in Krakow's main marketplace. The exhibit showed the lives of Jews living in Krakow before the war, and is a tribute to those people, doctors, lawyers, businessmen, bankers, architects, writers, journalists, and artists, very much the elite of Krakow. You're about to hear the voice of Dr. Skutnitsky as he talks about his book on Oskar Schindler, the man who saved the lives of 1,000 Jews. You will hear my voice as I praise Dr. Skutnitsky for his work. I would like listeners to know that Dr. Skutnitsky's grandmother, Anna Sokolowska, a 1905 graduate of the Jagiellonian University, sheltered several Jews and paid for the act with her life. She is recognized as one of the 6,000 righteous among nations in Israel. In an interview with the Krakow Post in 2010, when asked about the book by Professor Felix Gross, the book Fear, which describes Polish anti-Semitism, Dr. Skutnitsky replied, "If it is the only book about Poles and Jews, one would think everyone was eating Jews for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some Poles were blackmailers. Some were heroes. Most were neutral. One side of the truth is never the truth," said Dr. Skutnitsky. The Oskar Schindler book can be purchased at the Galicia Museum's bookstore in Krakow. Contributions for the Dialogue Center in Krakow may be made through a pledge to Radio Wisła. Thank you.
So I feel that for the Polish-Jewish, not the reconciliation, but uncovering real relationship for so many years, there is no history of Poland without Jewish history, and vice versa.
Yes.
And we have to still uncover this, to realize it, and so many wonderful Polish poets of Jewish origins, like Brzechwa, like Tuwit. You cannot imagine our childhood without that. How much those two nations cooperate, coexist, build together, suffer together, fight for Polish independence. Of course, there are many negative aspects, because antagonism is always important.
Is this being recorded? I love hearing your positivism and this optimism, because it does not exist in some places in the United States.
In the United States.
A holding back. There's an exhaustion over the subject, an unwillingness to get
change
into dialogue.
Change their minds and find the stereotype.
their organizations need to change their mind. It's just a matter of a silence that can't seem to be penetrated. That is why at some point in my letter I thought, if you could come, you, you've been to New York recently to some Jewish organization,
yeah.
But I have in mind something like the Kosciuszko Foundation, where your voice...
Harry Petter to visit the Kosciuszko Foundation. We hold it in contact with Polish consulate in Manhattan, of course.
Yes.
And the organization of the Polish Jewish organization, New Krakow Friendship Society in New York.
So is that
I have,
the organization that invited
Weinberger,
you?
I have a lot of friends over there.
Yes.
But I think everything starts with Oskar Schindler. Why him? Because he saved so many people. And I have a chance and honor to meet, to contact with them, and to meet most all of them in person. I visited them in 5 continents, because they are still alive, living over there. And you see both wonderful people who are sending us pomeranches or other gifts, wine.
Yes.
Because they are wonderful people. And I came back from California a week ago, and I visited Mila Page, Mila Pfefferberg, the wife of Paul de Pfefferberg. They both were saved by Oskar Schindler, and he promised to Oskar, you save our life, we'll make your name worldwide known.
Yes.
And his Jewish prison previously, afterwards friends, try to convince important people in America to make them to be involved or to know about Schindler. But he failed for a long 30 years, from 1950 to 1980.
Mm-hmm.
He emigrated to California, and in Hollywood, in Forest Hills, he had his leather shop, so his clients were very important people.
And
after 30 years, he, big man like that,
yes.
Sportsman, Paul Deck Page, was able to convince Australian writer Tom Kennelly to write a book.
It
was published in 1982, and 11 years afterwards, Steven Spielberg makes a movie, and he was consultant of the movie here in Krakow.
Mm-hmm.
He passed away, but Mila is still alive, and I was sitting in her kitchen a week ago.
Amazing.
And I visited her, I think, for the third time.
Amazing.
She's quite an old lady.
Yes.
But she knows all these people by heart, like from kindergarten, you see.
Yes.
And I put all names of them here. So she could make gymnastic of her mind if she forgot how to call her name, because I put all those names here.
We were just commenting before you came about the difference in perspectives in the States and here. I want you to know, though, that from where I hear, and I'm an old lady now, and I'm not that active in organizations, but I was on Dennis's board for PAYA, and then at the University of Washington, we have an endowment committee trying to raise money for chair at the University of Washington, which is the place where Bill Gates and Paul Allen and all those greats are. But my point is, I hear very favorable things about the factory and Schindler's. The material you have there is very educational. I haven't been. I'm going to go Saturday.
I think it's very educational.
It's
because
people
our picture will welcome you. We put those pictures at the outside of a factory.
Uh-huh.
So people could see, in this very place, those people were safe.
Yes.
So thanks to our collection, we were able to put on that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And if somebody asked me, you are so fond of Schindler, you know, he could be seen from different perspective. I see from very positive perspective. But anyway, I'm not doing it for Schindler. I never met him in person.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 1974. But I met so many people who owe their life
yes.
to him.
And
sorry.
No, excuse me, I get it. I interrupt when I get excited. One of my questions that I submitted had to do with his reputation, which is a little bit controversial, and I'm just curious to know, were you personally satisfied that he was being very honest in his goals, that he wasn't just an opportunist, that his heart really changed?
So, saved so many people.
And they wrote about him?
Ill parents of his workers, their children. He gave them money, he gave them warm, he supports them in many ways. So it's nothing to be opportunistic.
No.
He, of course, was against Nazis, against Gestapo, so it was a negative interaction between up there, which he was a member of. So it's from a political point of view, but he was really a human being. And you see, only people who owe their life to him have a right, in my feeling,
yes,
to tell. Those critical people who never did probably anything positive to others without any interest, first of all, and second, they never met him and owe him nothing. So I think that out of 1,000 people, somebody told me that probably 3 or 4 after the war, despite the fact that their life was saved by him, were critical to Schindler. And afterwards, I find out from their children. But my father was critical to everybody. So he's critical to as well. So you see, I know by name who told it me. So from a point of view, even, you know who was Nathan Gross?
Yeah.
Polish Jewish writer of Krakow origin. Anyway, very prestigious person in Tel Aviv. So he always stressed, we should hear or listen only people who were, whose life was saved by Oskar Schindler, and they have a right to tell, oh, he was blah, blah, blah. Not others. Pseudo journalists, you know, people who, Hollywood movie, blah, blah, blah. No. So, you see, my knowledge about him is only from them. And I visited Mila Page, probably 95 years old, very good mentally shape. And I must say, I was in her bedroom, just looking. You know.
Yes.
She was speaking with my friends in the kitchen. And what I find out, the big picture of Oskar Schindler in her bedroom. You see,
what?
I owe him everything.
Yes.
You see, so
now, in letters, in correspondence, I asked this in my question of you, were there direct references to him in?
You see, I received from one of the lady who is here.
Yes.
She's my patient, Yusha Horowitz.
Yes.
And it's another lady, Stella Miller. We have two ladies, let's say, saved by Oskar, who never emigrated from Krakow. And when I was asked by my friends as a physician to visit Stella, she told me, oh, thank you, doctor, for your help. But remember, my life was saved by Oskar Schindler.
Okay.
That's a little confusion. Grateful to me, who is Oskar Schindler? But as I am scientist, I wanted to know the story, not only from her, but as many people as possible. So I received from Nusia, and indirectly from Mila Page, the list of names and addresses, telephone numbers of the people being saved by Oskar Schindler, prepared by Page, and Page did it for Steven Spielberg, because he wanted to invite them, all of them, on his own cost, to Jerusalem to make this last scene of the movie Schindler List close to tomb of Oskar Schindler in Jerusalem. So anyway, having this list, I tried to call it. Say, oh, hello, I'm calling from Krakow, how are you? I know this person. Oh, oh. You see, I'm interested in that. I'd like to know you all. I'd like to make an exhibition showing you. And in 2004, there was 30 years anniversary of Schindler's death, 1974 to 2004, and 60 years anniversary of the last train deported Jews from Plaszów through Gross Rosen to bring it to Schiller factory. So it's two anniversaries, 60 and 30. And it came to my mind, good occasion, to make this story alive again. And probably not modest to say for myself, but I know there was no any other exhibition showing the story in Krakow. Well, we tried to arrange it previously in Schiller factory, but it was in private hands during that time, I couldn't. Mm-hmm. So I asked Tadeusz Jakubowicz, you know, who is the chairman of Jewish community in Krakow, and he offered me Kupa Synagogue on Miodowa Street to show for the first time after the war. It was 2004. And we started with that. And when people ask me why you are doing it from us, not only from them, I think it's important from the reconciliation, if you like, to express our feeling that we are grateful to somebody, whoever he was, German, Polish, English, blah, blah. He saved 1,000 my fellow citizens of Prague, my fellow citizens. You see, if somebody will save your neighbors because of home something, you should be grateful to even a strange person, he saved your friends and neighbors. I am grateful to him because he saved so many my people, my patients, you know, and I am keeping contact with them, not only writing the books some years ago. I am still calling to them.
Well, what I see, what you are doing here is the same thing, the same methodology that you used in the catastrophe exhibition. It overwhelmed me when I saw that exhibit. I saw it at ICC. I was in Krakow. I was by myself. Nobody told me about it. And I thought, this is just revolutionary that you transformed the thought process about the Jews. It was a tribute to them. And nobody had ever done that. And you're doing the same thing here. You are praising this man for saving. And I think
there are other people which I am trying, like Paulina, other students of history Judaism, to make them involved. To do this kind of research, like oral history.
It's a different approach, though.
Oral history from different point of view. And you see, all of them are telling about the same story, about the same person in different way.
Yes.
Because people express themselves very differently. And it was great satisfaction for me to write again their history. And I put it to this book, which you know. Also, I find out a lot of Polish workers who probably had not sentence of death like Jews, but they were in danger to be deported, to write, to work, you know. Small children, 15, 16 years old, were already received order to be shaved completely, to go. And Oskar employed them to protect them.
Amazing.
And he expressed feelings to them like father, like uncle. What can I do for you? No. He even helped in hiding children of his workers, and he paid to pay them. I mean, paid for living.
Information.
You see? So this is true. So a part of Polish Jewish family, this is interhuman relationship. See, I'm physicians, and for me, relationship with patients is important. And this is interhuman relationship of the strange person who find out what happened. Fellow citizens, Germans, what we are doing. So, and he tried to be opposed to that. And probably some of the time, it will be 1,000 Oskar Schindlers. Imagine how many people could be saved. Unfortunately, there's only one Oskar Schindler. You see, it was Weinberg, blah, blah, blah. But in Krakow, probably only one.
What struck me after I saw that exhibit was your essay.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful essay. Right. Have you had people referring to it frequently? I read it to many people.
Not very many people like you are so much interested in reading the details. I told you already. People are looking for pictures, blah, blah.
No, and, but you as a humanist express yourselves with such sincerity, and I come from a background where I've been studying history, reading poetry by different Polish and Jewish writers, going to lectures, but never meeting anyone like yourself who was just being so really caring about people.
They're real friends. I like them, not because
special.
I am.
You're my hero.
Thank you very much.
But I'm almost embarrassed that I say that to you, but it's extraordinary. And in the essay, I did ask a few questions, if you don't mind my referring to this matter. Many people, when they deal with what happened, with the facts, they are overwhelmed emotionally, and then you bring in family stories and survivor stories, and that's extremely emotional, and some people just can't go there. This, I'm speaking of not Polish Americans, but people in the States. In your situation where your grandmother was involved in Dr. Aleksandrovich's, his experiences were very touching. You talk about the fact that he had helped so many people. What are the elements of forgiveness and the problem of dealing with, you know, the evil that existed, and some people find themselves becoming very full of hate. Were you influenced by your colleague's perspective that he seemed so unusual, unique? I seem to, unfortunately, not know people who.
You see, but there is no things like Nazis wanted to be general responsibility. So all people of one nation or one country or one town are responsible for everybody. We should treat people individually, first of all. So Aleksandrovich told us, young students, it doesn't matter if it's Jew, Polish, or German. You should look whether he is a clever and a proper person as a human being. So this is more important. So
and
I think to fight,
yeah,
absolutely, and to fight stereotype, you know, Polish is very good. No, I am very critical to many Poles. The Jews are wonderful or very bad. No, bloody nonsense, you know. Mm. We are real people. Mm. So if somebody telling me because I'm doing, oh, you are philo-Semite. I'm not philo-Semite. It has something to do with anti-Semitism, to be philo-Semite. Mm. I think I like them because they are really human beings. And they are human beings, whatever, you know. They are speaking Polish, they've been educated here. They feel that Krakow was a place where their several antecedents create their greatness. They did so much for this town. And I came to ideology that it's my job to uncover this. As a research worker, you know, I am professor of this university, so my job was publish papers, scientific papers. I have something, how many, 300 of them. Anyway, so I don't think it's something special. I think research worker, let's say professor at university, should look for the truth. And I think that it's very, very many stereotypes. Untruth, and if I could do something for better relationship between people, among people, you know, I think everybody could do something for them.
You are doing it.
Irrespectively, that I am only a physician, I'm not historian, I'm not a museum person, despite the fact that we are arranging exhibitions. I'm telling even to my student colleagues, it doesn't matter. Who are you? What's your profession? What's your age? Everybody could do something for better world. Yes. If with our finding or uncovering, helping them, some of them told me about Poles who saved their life, and we quite recently arranged recognition by the Yad Vashem. Yes. How it's beautiful and important.
Yes.
You see, here is my friend Edward Mosberg. With his wife, and they were helped by Polish couple when Cesia was 15 years old and her brother Julia was 10 years old. And when they escaped from Krakow, when Nazis came here, they came back after 2 years as a children, you know.
He's Edward,
and here is her future wife, Cesia. And Cesia with Juzio came back to Krakow in 1941, where their apartment on Strażeckiego Street was already occupied by Nazis, and they knocked to the Polish family who were living the same level, first floor in the building. And these people were those people. They had no children, but they told, of course, children, you could come. They hired two Jewish children, children of their previous Jewish neighbors in the pre-war time, in very already German quarter of Prague, very close to Babel Castle, where Hans Frank resided. So they risked their life to save those people. And when Edward told me about that, quite recently, we applied to Yad Vashem, and 6 months ago, Israeli ambassador to Warsaw, Mr. Zvi Ravner, invite them, including myself, in the audience of, I think, 25 MP, member of Jewish parliament from Jerusalem, who just were in Krakow, and they offer to descendants of this couple, because they pass away, of course, the Medal of Righteousness among the nations.
That's amazing. Now, so how do these booklets circulate so other people can have this experience of sharing their lives?
This is Edward, and look, all his family perished. He survived only one. And from this family of Stork, only Cesia and her father.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, they became couple.
Yes.
And out of this only one survivor, look what happened. Look what happened.
Oh my goodness.
He with two daughters.
Yes.
And look like that.
That's wonderful.
Out of one person, recovery of the family. Yes. This is wonderful. And now Edward Mosger is doing so much, showing, you know, his past in Krakow Ghetto, in Klaszów, in other construction houses, and so on. So it's my pleasure. And now he's recognized by President of the United States. This small boy from Krakow who was going, you know, by his motorcycle on Krakow.
Look at that, yes.
All his family, wonderful sister Perry.
And these booklets are available at the Galicia bookstore?
No,
that's just for the family.
It's for family. If you have an idea, for sure, this is in English. Most of them we publish in Polish. And my idea is that this will be published in English as well.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm doing it out of my own professor's salary, which is not very big one. So if we could find the organization, I'm not going to sponsor this, but will to some extent invite this kind of the documentation to be published, at least to cover translation of English and publishing, I'd be more than happy, because I know this all should go to the world.
Or to some or other.
Some libraries and so on.
No, we could do a documentary that would highlight these.
But you see, as a scientist, I'm very glad that after 1 year of very difficult, you know, this book with all this documentation appeared. And from him I received pomeranches, oranges yesterday,
yes.
You see, and the place where they were born, the house and so on. And his uncle, two kids, all were perished. It's so important to show by the name, Renia, Elik, and so on, and Romek, who wrote a diary in Plaszów, diary, only one diary. Simultaneously with being there in hiding, writing what happened in concentration camp in Krakow. And we find out, his nephew find out this diary written in Yiddish. He translated for me to Polish, and this is published. So it's a very important document, you see. And we have a copy of this Yiddish, you see, documentary put to the bottle, put to the earth when it was liquidated, was uncovered afterwards. and you know all details, you know what happens like that. He risked his life writing like that. So I'm very happy that one day we'll show, and they all will perish with their children. But before that, and even he wrote it when his wife and his children were killed. And he described especially, you know what? What happened on so-called Kujowa Górka, where people were killed bringing from the town, men Poles from prisoners. And he described, today 50 Poles were killed, today 25. He wanted to make documentation on that, imagine? Mm-hmm. So, and thanks to that, it was uncovered, it was published from Yiddish to Polish. Now it could be published from Yiddish to Polish, it could be published in English. But you see, at least this is something I am very happy with. Oh, scientist,
yes.
I know.
Yes, yes.
I like it, smell, you know, I'm happy with that.
Do you have any ideas how this material could circulate?
Yeah.
You have some ideas? Yeah. Can you share?
All of that something has to be done. We have now, you know, organization paid by government. I should employ people who will do it. You know, I am old person, I cannot do it myself. I should write it down. So we need people who will translate it, who will put it, who will be working on that. You know, all of them, like Galicia or Historical Museum, they employ 100 people. They have a lot of people who could work on that. Mm-hmm. And they have their salary for that. We are doing out of my heart, let's say. Oh, I'm happy with that. But you're right, I know.
It has to.
The work and time I devoted to that should go to other people.
For this very reason, one of the questions that I asked had to do with educational aspects of your work, and this would be so helpful to anybody who is studying the Holocaust, not just to hear the same stories and the tragedy and
concentration
the horrors. People get tired, they get, what is the expression? Holocaust burned out. I mean, it sounds awful, but this would be revitalizing to
it's important
have
to tell
this kind of
not only about the Holocaust. It's important to tell what Holocaust destroyed.
Yes,
the
yes,
wonderful
yes, yes.
history of our fellow citizens who did so much for our country, and they deserve our attention.
You know,
but we never have heard in schools about that. I myself learned it only 10 years ago. So, you know, I'm doing it because I think it's worthwhile. I make so many contacts, I like it, let's say my hobby. But of course, some institutional surrounding, I think even from American side, you know, from foreign countries could come, and at least this beginning, we have the gallery, we have volunteers like Paulina and 2-3 hours person, but probably we should employ one or two people being, you know, on salary here, working,
yes.
you know, and we will fill up with our ideas.
And of course, somehow or other, incorporating it with the new Warsaw Museum. Have they expressed any interest?
No.
Yes, because this is all so relevant. It's I can see that happening.
Krakow is a special place.
Yes.
From close to Auschwitz, all these places, it's still active,
yes.
still living.
Yes.
And the people.
You see, I'm Krakowian, so I love Krakow.
Mm-hmm.
And I find all those people on the street of Krakow before university. So this is so emotional for me. I like pictures, of course, to share what I find out with others. I think it's very important. All young Krakowians, you know. Some of them are still living. He's living, she's living.
He's
living in Haifa, in Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
And you see their stories. I think it's my job to not to allow to be forgotten. See, in front of Wawel Castle, the pupils of Hebrew Gymnasium learned their history. They told me at 5 o'clock they went to Wawel Castle to learn Polish history among Polish kids. Is it in moving?
You know, I want to share this with you. I took a course. It came to Seattle on how to teach the Holocaust to children, and it was created at the Holocaust Museum in D.C. And the man responsible for this educational program for teachers was an expert in teaching. And what he stressed, and I came to Krakow to teach, and the students were high school students, and they had been affected by communism, so they knew very little. And the approach, to me, was so novel. In a packet came, about this size, photographs of Jews, people, a mother, a father holding a baby, a couple being married, you know, they're on their wedding day. And the teachers were told to show these pictures, so I followed along with the instructions and, you know, put thumbtacks on the bulletin board. And the whole point to me seemed rather strange, simplistic. You know, these are Jews, and you're going to be teaching kids, high school students, who don't know any Jews. And I was amazed how strong an impression this made as we looked at these images, and the children in the class absorbed the concept that, you know, these were people, they had babies, they had lives. But to that point, I don't know what was in their heads, what they thought Jews were. I mean, it was something that I didn't know, or the director of the program, this was the Kosciuszko Foundation and the Ministry of Culture here. But those photographs were so effective, and you were doing the same thing. These are people, and
they're real people.
They're real people.
We
had lives.
We are not a mess of people. We are real people. And
it's a wonderful place to start, you know, for those who have.
I think in Poland, of course, in America you have the much more difficult task. I think in Poland you have easier task. Let's say to have small village. Small village, small town. There is no anyone Jew. In pre-war time we know there was 50%, 2,000. And I'm very glad of that. It's not my job, but I'm glad that in Poland so many people now, teachers, in primary school even, told, listen, in pre-war time, in your town, you know everybody, there were 2,000 people. What happened with that? Would you be interested to find out, to look, to make some research? You see, and I think it's very stimulating. I'm very glad of that, because it builds better atmosphere around. That in so many small villages, small towns, people are covering, because we are going to Kirkut, to cemetery, there is old synagogue somewhere, now there is shop or library, whatever. They try to uncover. And this is a good model of how to teach about Holocaust, about our fellow citizens.
Yes.
You see? Not only because it's something special Jew, because in America, Jew could be English, could be Jewish, could be French. Here were our fellow citizens who were living in our earth so many years, cooperating with my parents and grandparents, and now we disappeared.
Dr. Has appeared Trahansky, who's the man, I had the honor of meeting him a few years ago. I was with a group of teachers. Trahansky. He wrote the book on the Holocaust, the textbook. Has anyone approached you to incorporate any of this material in a manner that would help with teaching? I mean, bringing these people alive and approaching.
You see, what we could do from time to time, we have so-called illustrated lectures that on screen we are showing what people, telling their story.
Yes.
I had a lot of such lectures For whom? For secondary school pupils, for some guests during opening ceremonies, to tell about the story.
Wonderful.
You see, but of course, it's in a limited way because how many people come? 20, 50.
Yes. But it is a start, and I think it's a terrific approach.
I think it's a good start. I agree with that. You see, but you have experience, you know, you have Polish-Jewish relationship, so I'd be very happy to hear your comments, how you think we could make the story
in a better way. Who would love to work with you and
I'd be very happy if somebody would find out how this book was translated to English. Now this book on Schindler is translated to German under the influence of German consulate in Krakow, and I'm very happy with that because my time devoted to that now will be seen, you know, by other people. So why not? Of course. But I know it's a very hard job, you know, to make. No, I'm doing something which is very important. Everybody should follow me. I'm doing it my way. Even Paulina is very critical to what I'm doing because she said to me that I'm not doing not very proper way, like a real historian. But you know, I have no pretension. I have no ambition to be a historian. I'm doing what I think. I can, because you know, my time is limited, you know, I'm coming from hospital now, you know, I'm a whole day, and today, at 12 o'clock, I will have another, at midnight, bone marrow transplantation, I have to go to my department. So you see, I'm hard working as you. So what I'm doing is my way, I am fascinated with such pictures from Babel Castle of his Jewish children.
That's wonderful. Where did you get these photographs?
From my friends.
From your friends.
This came amazing. To me. Some people sent it to me. Those tableaus of pupils from Hebrew Gymnasium.
Yes.
How we behave, how we are dressed. And I am learning a lot of that, you know. It's Sender, you know, for sure.
Yes,
Israel Sender, which I had the honor to know in person. And this book, I have already some kind of introduction of motto to this book, that this book dedicated to Polish, not only Polish writers among the nation, will be dedicated to Irena Sender, who told us to uncover, to find out the positive human relationship. Because you could build better world in future based on what is positive. If you try to uncover only what was bad, people will hate each other even more. You see, somebody told me, oh, you have to excuse many, many times, and afterwards someone would say, okay, you excuse me, then now I trust you or I forgive you. It never happens. If you are only looking, you know, for those bad people who were anti-Semites, of course, very well. So, it's true, from historical point of view, of course, you should do it. But if it's only way, and it's politically proper now to tell, oh, we Poles were killing of Jews, blah, blah, blah. So, when the young Jewish children are coming to Poland, and we are visiting only concentration camp, being surrounded by soldiers, you know, because Poles would like to do something bad to them. So, it's not building better perspectives for the positives. And I think what is important to tell those children, I mean, teenagers coming from Israel, listen, your parents, grandparents were living here, they had a lot of success, they built wonderful history, philosophy, buildings, they were members of city council, and we are showing them. And some of them I find out already, oh really, our history is longer than 1948 when Israel was created. It's longer because it lasts for several centuries. Why not? It's true.
You are so right because more has to be done and in a different way. And
better understanding to know people,
yes,
to feel them to some extent,
yes,
to feel what they're feeling. And I find out that most of the people are so friendly, so happy, that we call to them, I'm calling sometimes witness, how are you, happy Hanukkah, and so on. Oh, thank you, really, shalom, Shabbat shalom. So
yes.
I think it's building with positive interactions.
Yes.
And I think, you know, everybody could do it. I'm not telling you should do it my way, because everybody should do their own way. Pauline, I'm not telling you that you should do it my way. Everybody has its own practice, experience.
How different it is, though, this approach in
very personal way
in Poland, and how different it is in the United States, because there's no small town and there's a whole different set of situations. I think it was a good thing when more Americans came here, students, and got into programs.
People were writing down in our book of książka pamięci, evaluation book.
Yes.
And I like to read, not only because I find out only positive, even negative, but fascinating. So some old lady, 50 years old lady, let's say, came to one of the exhibitions of the pre-war Krakow in High Synagogue on Józefa Street, and she wrote it down. Thank you very much to organizers for such wonderful exhibition. Now I find out the Jews are as same people as we are. You see, but she was very honest in that.
Yes,
because
yes.
You know, stereotype was Jewish, the black, you know, not speaking, and the Polish, you know, Polish patriot. And she and I showed them so many wonderful physicians, you know, lawyers, members of city council, wonderful people who are walking for Stockholm, beautiful girls walking on promenade, on marketplace. And this was the idea in this International Culture Center on Marketplace, from this, you know this building?
Yes.
The window, look out the marketplace. And I have pictures, like beautiful girls are walking through on the, so people could see them on the picture and look, oh, probably, you know, you have an imagination, you could see all of them. It was my idea. And after it was relatively strange, but anyway, this inspired us to make it on this very place in International Center of Culture. Because previously we did it on the Kupa Synagogue, High Synagogue. And we wanted to show not to Jewish community, to show it outside of Jewish community, because they were citizens of marketplace, Shara Kamenica, and so on.
It is in such a contrast to a stereotypical...
Polekin, the mother of Stella, what a beautiful person.
A beautiful woman.
It's her aunt, look at that.
Yes.